chapter 41. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Ishmael, this royal seed, and the prince of the kings, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. These were royal people. They weren't just little people. These were royal people. I think it's Elishama that is mentioned in as a scribe for Jehoiakim. We don't need to turn to that. I think it's the 36th chapter of Jeremiah. But these were royal people. And so they carried some clout, didn't they? And so we listened to them. Well, he invited them in and ate bread together right in the governor's mansion, we might say. And this reminds me of the book of Jude. Maxine, read Jude chapter 1, verses 4, 10 to 12. Verses 4, then drop down to verse 10 to 12. And we have the same condition in the last days. These are treacherous people that will act like they're friends and yet ready to stick a knife in your back at the same time. Now let's stop here just a minute. Now isn't that the same thing that Ishmael did here? Because his power was not in God, but in Belial, the king of the Amorites. And so he crept in unaware. He came in as a friend. See? Now read verses 10 through 12. Here's our warning. This is a description of Ishmael, isn't it? Come right in and feast with you, and at the same time, your enemy. Watch out for these people. They'll destroy if they can. And so you watch for them. But then, after the dinner was over, verse 2, then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Oh, what an act. What a terrible act of brutality and unbelief. And a lack of fear, too. I can see that. Those that join forces with the Antichrist will not have a fear of God whatsoever. And not only did this man didn't have a fear of God, he didn't have any fear, he didn't have a fear for the Chaldeans that had placed this man as governor. And then notice how brutal he was in these next verses. And it came to pass the second day, he just let him lay there for 2 days. Nothing was said, nothing was done. He had slain them, and after the second day, after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it. Well, he killed the whole household there, and all the men of war and everybody else that were there in that house were all killed by Ishmael and the group that was with him. But notice on down further how wicked this man really was. Here, 2 days had gone by. Nobody had gone to there. There wasn't anybody alive in the house. So then we read, and there were certain from Shechem and Shiloh and from Samaria, even 80 men, 80 men, having their beard shaven and their clothes rent, and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. And it came to pass that he met them, he said unto them, come unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And it was so when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, slew them and cast them into the midst of a pit, and the men that were with them. Now notice who these men were. They had come from a distance, even from Ephraim. Now these cities that are mentioned in verse 5 are all cities of Ephraim, or the north tribes. And they had come down, and in Roberta, 2 Kings 17:24, we find what kind of people these were that came down. And Alan, look up for me Leviticus, I think it's 19, 27 and 28. And first let's see what kind of men these were that came from Samaria. So these were full-blooded Israelite people, were they, that came down. What he did when Assyria came down and conquered, he took the Israelites out and put them in foreign lands and brought these foreigners down into Samaria. And this is one of the reasons that the Jews hated the Samaritans during Jesus' time. They weren't full-blooded people, Jewish people, or Israelitish people, I should say. And so these were kind of half-breeds there. And notice that they had their beard shaven, their clothes rent, having cut themselves. Now, all of these were forbidden of God to come and worship. Now, read that in Leviticus 19. Now, see, they had disobeyed all these. And the reason is all of these things that are mentioned here were the ways the heathens did things. And God didn't want them to do things the way the heathens did. But nevertheless, they came with offerings and incense and to bring into the house of God. Now, these are a type of false worshipers in the last days. They are a type of those who make pretense of worship, especially during the tribulation time. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference, except the fact that they don't behave the way God said so. They were a different people. Whether Ishmael knew this or not, I don't know. But Ishmael made a trip. He heard that they were coming, and he went to meet them, weeping as he went. There another we have, pretense, falsity. He was a fake. He wasn't weeping over anybody. He knew that the Gedaliah was dead, and he'd been dead for 2 days. And so he went there weeping, and it came to pass as he met them, he said unto them, "Come unto Gedaliah." This was a lie, you see. But what he was doing was setting a trap for these people. Now, isn't this the way of an Antichrist? Isn't this the way the enemy, our enemy, does things? He surely does. And it was so that when they came into the midst of the city, he just killed all of them and threw them into a pit. You talk about brutality, but that's the way it's going to be. We studied this in the book of Revelation, how brutal the Antichrist is going to be and his men, and how terrible it will be of those who join, Jews who join force with him. Now, we had such a deal, and you read the book of the Maccabees, and they had such a thing back in those days. There was many Jews that had joined forces with Antiochus. So we have a similar thought here. Then in verse 8, we find that 10 men, so only 70, were killed and thrown into this pit. I'm trying to think where it is. But anyway, this pit was, well, we'll let that go for a minute. Well, there was 10 of the verse 8 is what I want. 10 men were found among them and said, "Slay us not, for we have treasures in the field, of wheat and barley and oil and honey." So he forbore and slew them not among their brethren. Now, they purchased their freedom. They purchased their life. This phrase, "in the field," is the same as we had before, in places of hiding. Probably in dens or caves or someplace in the mountains or wherever they were hid. They also hid food during that time. Food was a great commodity. And so all of these things were worth something. But I think the thought that we have here is the fact that they paid their own ransom for their life. And Ishmael, how greedy he was, his greed overcame his cruelty. And so he forbore killing these 10. Now the pit where Ishmael had cast all the dead of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah, it was which Asa the king had made for fear of Baash, the king of Israel, and Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with them that were slain. Now, I don't know that this is a pit We have a little thought in this in 1 Kings 15 or 2 Chronicles 16, I believe, is a better, probably a better rendering of this. But it doesn't say that there was a pit there. Some seem to think that this was a channel or a ditch that had been dug that would slow down the army of the 10 tribes. But whatever it was, Ishmael used it to put the dead in. Kind of reminds us of the Holocaust, where they dug these big ditches and then put the dead bodies and just bulldozed the dirt back in on them. I'm not sure that Ishmael even bothered to cover them over. He just filled the ditch with or whatever it was with the slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive, verse 10, and all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters and all the people that remain in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, and Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried away captive and departed to go over into the Amorites. Now, possibly his idea was to sell them for slaves. This was usually what happened. When they conquered a city, they would keep all the captives and take them and make slaves out of them and try to sell them. So I think probably his idea was to carry them over to the Amorites and try to sell them as a slave. But this didn't work out for him. Verse 11, when Jonathan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the force that were with him heard all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. There was another bloody battle take place there. Who read last? I forgot. You read last? Greg, look up 1 Samuel 19, or 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel 19, 37. And two of the generals, one of Israel and the other one belonged to David. I'm trying to think of that. Abner was one, and trying to think of their name right now. You can read it there for me. There was a big battle there. Many lies were said at the waters that are in Gibeon. 2 Samuel 2. Right, that's what I want. And the plague got pretty bloody, didn't it? So this was a known place for this. So this is where they caught them, by the great waters that is in Gibeon. Now, just a little bit more, and they would have been into the land. And so, of the Amorites, and so God intervened ahead of time for them. And you marvel how God is always on time. He's never late to be there. So they came to pass that when all the people that were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all of the captains of the force that was with him, then they were glad. I think the reason they were glad is because they knew they were being delivered from this tyrant's hand. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned and went to Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with eight men and went unto the Amorites. And that's the last we hear of him. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, all of the captains of the force that were with him, and all the remnants of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah, after that he had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, even mighty men of war, and women, and the children, and the eunuchs whom he had brought again and from Gibeon. Now they had to make a decision of whether they was going to go back or whether they was going to go into Egypt. So They came to a place here of a road that went from Jerusalem to Egypt. They dwelt in the inhabitants of Shemham, which is by Bethlehem, to go into Egypt. So they were on the road, ready to go to Egypt, but there was a hesitation. But the reason they wanted to go is because of fear. They were afraid of what the Chaldeans would do. After all, Nebuchadnezzar's man that he picked to be governor had been slain. And they probably was afraid that he would just take it out on all of them. But you see, this was a lack of faith, because God told them to be submissive to them. And if they would just went and said, this is what Ishmael did, and this is what we've done, and we brought all these back, possibly wouldn't have done a thing but elected another governor. And it may have even been Johanan as governor. Who knows what would have happened, see? But fear. What is it that casts out perfect? What is it that casts out fear? Perfect love, isn't it? Casts out all fear. So there must have been a lack of the love of Christ here. Although these were good people, yet they were afraid of, because of what Ishmael had done, slaying Gedaliah. We'll leave it here in the story.